Welcome to the first episode of our show. Today we'll be looking at Netflix's recently released film, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile, starring Lily Collins and Zac Efron.
We also have our guest with us for the show. Everybody say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So guys, we're pouring glasses of Stella Rosa Reserve. So guys, what would you rate this wine?
5 out of 5.
10 out of 10.
11 out of 11.
I would say it's A out of very good. Stella Rosa Reserve is an Italy red wine blend. This is a really sweet wine, low alcohol, and has a very, very good taste. It's the kind of drink you have when you have a gathering, when you want to chill with friends. I thought it was the perfect choice for starting off the podcast.
So guys, what do you think about the film? Have you guys watched it yet?
Well, I think the film, I don't know who said it. Yeah, I saw it.
I also saw it, and we saw it at the same time. It's a pretty interesting film if you consider how sophisticated the character of Ted Bundy actually was. And it's horrifying to think that this clever, sophisticated individual can roam around society the way that he did and have the same kind of influence he did.
I'm just shocked at the fact that, you know, he looked so good, but he was so deadly.
The way he treats both the ex-girlfriend and the current girlfriend who he eventually married in the courtroom, that was pretty insane. What do you guys think about the engagement inside of the courtroom and the marriage that was binding in the courtroom?
It was so manipulative.
Extremely manipulative.
So crazy.
He didn't have feelings towards this other individual. He just did that as theatrics.
Do you really believe that the girlfriends really didn't know if he was innocent or not? Or do you think they were just downplaying it?
I don't think they were downplaying it. I don't think they knew either. I think they were just head over heels. And they really couldn't think clearly about what they were doing or how they were approaching the situation, because that's just how manipulative this individual was.
Before the film, have you guys heard of Ted Bundy, or is this the first time you've ever heard of him?
Well, originally I have heard of Ted Bundy, like, very, very... not that much, but we did watch the Ted Bundy tapes before watching the actual movie. That was a lot more terrifying than the actual movie. Actually hearing his voice, everything he actually said to this detective was just so horrifying. It felt like listening to the devil himself speaking through your TV speakers.
I think people thought he was the actual devil.
Yeah, my first actual encounter with Ted Bundy was actually on a Reddit post where they actually did a story about where they were in the woods and they could have swore that they bumped into Ted Bundy.
Oh, I think I heard about that one. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's worse than Slenderman.
Yeah, that is scary than Slenderman because that's real. And oh my gosh, you see the pictures of all the crime scenes and the beheaded women and stuff. And oh, that's just crazy.
It was messed up. So guys, there's a lot of controversy around the film. The biggest thing is pretty much the audience feels like Zac Efron glamorized a serial killer, that Tim Bundy was this celebrity killer. And what do you guys think about that?
I don't think he glamorized. I think it was just an accurate portrayal of what actually happened. There's a complete difference between glamorizing something as in adding to. These back when this was happening, those women, they were actually convinced that he was innocent. That's what they believed.
Yeah, I think that it was actually already glamorized by the media, having all the cameras in there and interviewing the current girlfriend and then wife. I think that the way that they were showing it 24/7 on TV, I think that was glamorized, not Zac Efron's performance, but rather the actual Ted Bundy was glamorized, and I think that's what this film wanted.
Yeah, well, like, that's exactly what he wanted. He wanted the attention from all the viewers from America. And all the viewers of the movie were probably, what, in their early 20s, maybe late 30s. Nobody was really around during that time. Nobody really saw, maybe older people who probably aren't interested in it anymore. But everybody that saw it weren't really there. They don't really know exactly how it was.
Well, rather than You know, I think it serves as a way to warn people that your everyday person can be capable of doing such awful things.
Now, getting to some more controversies around the film, did you guys feel that it was factually accurate enough or too Hollywood fiction? What do you guys think?
So, without actually doing research into the background, I would feel like they didn't go too Hollywood-y, but of course, it's a movie, so you have to put a little bit of Hollywood pizzazz in there, otherwise I think it would be kind of boring. Even though it's about a serial killer, you need a little bit of entertainment, not just straight facts. So I think it was accurate, but with some Hollywood magic sprinkled in.
You mean like to get more emotion from the viewers, or what do you mean? Like,
yeah, I think they definitely pushed a bit of the emotional envelope, so that way people would be more invested, people would see both sides. There was a quote that I like where the only difference between the good side and the bad side is who's telling the story. And I think that's what this was. It's kind of a view from the other side. Not saying he's good or bad. I think he was very evil. But it's just kind of showing the different aspects of it.
Yeah, definitely. The different perspective. Like, everybody saw the outside perspective. Nobody really saw somebody that was actually close to him, who actually personally dealt with him. And, of course, I mean, it's a movie. You can't put every single thing into an hour and a half, 2 hour movie. It'd be impossible. There always has to be things left out or things changed a little bit just for the fact that anybody can watch this movie, and you have to be very careful. Of course, it is Hollywood, and Hollywood has to amp it up in their own Hollywood way, but I feel like they did a pretty good job with how it actually was.
Yeah,
I feel like it did do some good justice, and I mean, I don't know what else they would have changed. That's really how he was.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Of course, you know, with, I think they were able to capture the essence of Ted Bundy. Just after listening to the tapes and then watching the character, it was very similar. I got the same chilling feeling from listening and watching both.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, guys, here's a big rundown of issues that people had with the film. The first key was that the timeline is way off. The second is that the officers let Ted Bundy go when they found him. They found suspicious evidence in the car when they pulled him over for a traffic violation. But in reality, they waited a month until after Bundy sold the buggy, and they were able to find several matching hairs inside of the car of the victims. And that's when they actually went for the arrest. And the third point that people were complaining about was that he was actually tried 3 times, not 2 times, and the final trial was actually in Orlando, Florida, not in Miami like the movie depicts. Now, there are many details that were changed. The most significant was that they left out all of the evidence the girlfriend had when she tipped over the police. In the movie, she just says, "Oh, I had a hunch," but in real life, she found things like a hatchet in the car, bowls filled with ladies' undergarments, a knife in the glove compartment. There was a lot of things that tipped her off, and that's when she actually went to the police, versus in the movie, it was just, "Oh, hey, I feel this could be something bad." What do you guys think?
Well, personally, I had no idea that any of those things... I thought that the movie kind of just depicted what actually happened in chronological order. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know about any of those facts. And I think the most profound for me was the fact that the girlfriend had particular evidence against him. Because when you consider that... I mean, it's a little weak for her to just have a hunch and then report this man to the police, because, I mean, I don't think any sane person would do that.
Or feel so guilty that she just had a hunch and reported the hunch. They show her too guilty about it, and it lacks emphasis. Like, why are you so guilty over just like, oh, my boyfriend kind of looks like that. Oh, he has a bugly kind of like that one. I think it was more than a hunch, in my opinion.
Not to be too stereotypical, but most white men in the 70s, that's when it occurred.
Yeah, right? 70s.
Most white men in the 70s, they kind of look like how Ted Bundy looked. Of course, I mean, the curly hair and whatever facial features he had, that it's not exclusive to him. I mean,
There's no way to go off that sketch. That sketch looked like it was drawn by an 8-year-old. I can't believe that's the actual sketch.
Yeah, it looks like every man in the 70s. And that's another thing.
It's how my daughter draws.
See, but that's another thing. It was another time. It's literally decades ago. This was done completely different by a completely different based of laws back then. Uh-huh. And obviously, if somebody has a hunch, they can just arrest. But back then, they needed all this evidence. And that's probably why they took them so long to actually arrest him at first. I'm surprised it did take them that long.
I can't believe she didn't break up with him after seeing all those undergarments in the car. It was several women, not just one undergarment. No, it was several. One undergarment should be enough for it to tick you off and be like, "Hey, what the heck's going on?"
Just the undergarments. Even if you don't think he's a murderer, he's at least a cheater and you have a child. Apparently, that's how it was based in the movie, that she had a child. Just leave.
And besides, what a creep at that point. And he had him inside bowls. He had one bowl with garments and another bowl with random keys. That should be way more than just a hunch. And I see why they left it out. Yeah. I think they didn't want to make her seem too dumb. Why didn't you leave? Why was that not a major red flag? Why wait till you see a sketch? I don't know.
I think that would have been a much better perspective to put in the movie than, "Oh my god, I feel so guilty because I turned him in, even though he is a killer."
Yeah.
I think it really adds emphasis to how he manipulated the minds of all these women, because, for her, in real life at least, to see these things and still try her hardest to believe that he's still innocent, I think that speaks volumes to how sophisticated and manipulative this person was.
Now, guys, since we're talking about the details here and all that, do you consider significant or not significant details that they left out and impacted the narrative? Or do you think these were just something they did to make it go smoother?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a movie. It's supposed to entertain you. That's just how Hollywood is. It's going to leave out some details that it feels it doesn't need to be in the movie. They're trying to tell their own story. And that's usually how these things go.
All right, guys. Well, this is all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning into the first episode. Guys, thank you so much for visiting us on this episode of Crying Over Wine. Until next time.
Laters.
Bye. Bye-bye.